Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Paul, I might become an Uber driver. I told you this the other day. Sure. I was talking to a guy. I have more spare time. My kid's halfway out the house anyway. Why not? How much can I make? How much is it? Is there a catch? I feel like I can make hundreds of dollars on the weekends just in the South Hills, just taking people to the airport and to wherever they're going.
Yeah.
Can I?
You can if you're willing to. The thing about it is you've got to be willing to do the, you know, enough time.
I'll do 10 hours a weekend day.
Yeah, if you do 10 hours, you should be able to make some money, of course. A little bit of extra money, your golf money. You know, for someone like me, it'd be golf, beer money.
You know? Why don't you do it?
I've done it before. I just don't. I don't have enough time to do it. Part of it is I'm a cab driver. I like driving a cab. And when I switched to Uber, it just didn't feel the same to me. You know what I mean? So I just couldn't get into it the way I, you know, might have been able to had I really wanted to pursue it. So, you know, it's one of those things where you get used to doing one thing one way.
Yeah.
And you do, and then you try and do it the other way, and you're like, I like the old way better.
I think I'm going to do this. I think it'll be entertaining rides. We can talk a little sports. I'll be an Uber driver.
That would be good. What would be really funny is if you could set up one of those little cameras. You know, those cameras on your dash cam.
Yeah.
So, you know, the inside of your car is, and you can capture all your conversations and stuff. You could turn that into a really entertaining, even like a blog. Some sort of, you know, whatever, you know what I mean?
What's the catch here? I drive around in my car. I pick somebody up. I take them to their house. I do that 8 times over 10 hours and I'm done.
Right. You do it more than 8 times. If you don't do it more than 8 times, then you're going to be wasting a lot of your day. The point is you're going to get a lot more than 8 rides over 10 hours.
All right, 12. Are we talking now?
You know, in 10 hours, I would like to have at least 20 to 25 rides.
Oh, wow. All right.
I mean, you got to be willing. I mean, again, you the good thing about it is you control your own destiny. You can do as many or as little as you want, you know. It's like any job. There's downsides to it.
Yeah.
Put a little wear and tear on your car, obviously, by driving it, you know, around. You're going to be putting some miles on your car. There's headaches sometimes dealing with a company, dealing with the app, you know what I mean? There's just
dealing with the people, maybe.
Sometimes, you know, I mean, if you're going to just do it during the day.
What if I pick up Jackass Tony accidentally for a ride?
Then you probably will take him a block and tell him. And after the block, after he, you know, tells you who he is, you say, get out. But my point is.
Did I stutter?
Yes. This guy.
Did I stutter?
You know? And
Do you know that video yesterday? The video of the throwdown with Jackass Tony got like 130,000 views.
Yes.
People love that stuff. Oh, they love confrontation.
The best is
we're at Studio B in Monroeville, I might add.
Yes, at Bowser. At Bowser Chevrolet. Come and say hello and buy a car. But anyway.
Yeah.
The
and use it as an Uber.
Exactly. The funny thing is, Joe, one of these Jackass Tony wannabes, you know, what do they call it? Quote tweeted the video.
Yeah.
And was whining about how, oh, there's younger people in this market who could actually draw ratings and do a good job, but no, these two old farts, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know, again, what was the number of views of that thing?
130,000,
right.
Why, is Jackass Tony a younger guy?
I don't know. I have no idea who he is. I mean,
are we doing the Jackass Tony Awards today? Is that happening?
Yeah. I think it's appropriate.
But I think my point is this guy's, you know, I mean, these people don't understand that, you know what, a lot of people really like those kind of videos.
I mean, our ratings.
Here's the thing. We could have put a video up of us talking about Brandon Ayuk, and I bet you it would have done a third of that.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess that's where we start today. Why don't we start with a six-pack? We are very happy to be out here at Bowser Chevy, Monroeville Studio B. That was a gigantic steal by Steph. We'll talk about that game in a minute. And there's a lot happening. And I mean a lot in the world of sports. So off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we have Ray Fittipaldo. He'll get us ready for the game tonight. He had a good article in the Post-Gazette about people to watch, things to watch tonight. We have the iconic Sean Gentile at noon. I don't know where that's going to go. And then Bob Walk at 1 can give us, I don't know, 3 reasons why the Pirates bullpen has completely imploded. And then at some point in the show, we'll try to squeeze in the Jackass Tony Awards. So it's big. There's a lot of things happening. But we open, Paul, with a six-pack brought to you by Bet365. I just heard one crack. Let's talk about this game tonight. When Paul Zeiss tunes into the Steelers exhibition opener, what's the biggest storyline for him?
Well, I mean, I don't know how it can't be Justin Fields, if he only plays two series or something. I don't know how it can't be him. You know, we want to see what he looks like running the offense and, you know, making throws on time and, you know, from the pocket and all the other stuff. The thing about him, like I said, his skill set dictates that he's going to make the dynamic play from time to time. Just that's who he is. So the wow factor, you know, we might see a play where he runs around and, you know, sprints around and, you know, avoids 4 tacklers and then, you know, throws one down the field to someone breaking wide open and it's a touchdown. And it's like, wow, okay, that's what he can be at his best. But that's not how you win in football, in the NFL. I mean, Patrick Mahomes does that too. But you know what else Patrick Mahomes does? Drives his team down the field on a 10-play drive, and he goes 7 for 7, you know what I mean, or whatever, throwing, you know, slants and little out underneath throws and everything else. I mean, you have to be able to do that stuff because, again, the dynamic play is fun, and every so often it can break a game or change a game, but you're not going to win solely on that.
Yeah, I just don't think we're going to see. It's going to be like Drake May last night. We're going to see a couple series. Do you think maybe the better question is this? The better question is this. And now I forget who was on the air with us yesterday. Was it DeFabo? It was DeFabo.
Yeah.
Do you think that Justin Fields should play a half or three quarters? Like, what's the point of doing a Drake May with him tonight, treating him like he's a starter? Do you think he should actually get in and run some offense and play for a while, or is that too risky?
Well, I think they're going to do that next week against the Bills. That's going to be their plan. They'll go one or two, you know how it is. They'll go one or two series tonight. Then they'll go maybe a whole half next week, and then again the third week they won't play any. You know.
What about Russell? Does he need work?
Yes.
In your opinion?
I would think that hopefully they can get him in at some point, like maybe next week. And to be honest, if he's not ready next week, even though it goes against, you know, what they've traditionally done, if he's ready for that last playoff game or that last exhibition game, he needs to play. Even though it goes against, you know, what Tomlin has usually done, which is nobody that's really anybody plays that last exhibition game.
Next, Sean. All right, item number two, another David Bednar disaster. And you can say, you know, and I heard people repeating it, well, since the beginning of the year, he converted 19 straight saves. I don't care. He was really good. He looked like himself. I think it was May and parts of June, maybe. For the most part, this season's been a disaster. Every time he goes out there, I get the feeling that things are going poorly because they usually are. He's giving up a ton of hits, a ton of walks, even when he converts saves. It feels like luck. And you're allowed to have a bad outing, you know?
Right.
But you can't have two in a row in the middle of a stretch drive here. You can't. You can't just blow up like that. He blew three saves last year. He's blown five this year. I texted my stepson, who's better at math than me. That's a 66% increase in blown saves already for him. My God, what's going to happen the rest of the year? The bullpen's been a disaster. And you know when it started, Paul? It started with Bednar. With Bednar.
Way back.
Blowing three of his first four saves.
Yeah. I wonder, Joe, has he ever been fully 100% healthy this year?
I wonder. There was a stretch where he was really good.
There was a stretch where he was good, but even in that stretch when he was good, he was never locked down, shut down. I mean, there were a number of those saves that he had in a row where you were holding your breath.
Part of me wishes they had traded high on him like last year.
Yeah, well, I remember.
Because relievers bring in a lot of power return.
I remember, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, me saying exactly that and all of the jackass Tonys of the world attacking me and saying that I had no idea what I was talking about and Bednar is, you know, blah, 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 this and that. It's like, listen, those kind of relievers, you always want to have an eye on them, you know, if you have a chance to make your team better. And, of course, now, given that they've completely fallen apart.
Yeah. This looks like 2011 and
12. My point is, now that they've completely kind of fallen apart, wouldn't you like to have those 2 weeks back and maybe at trading Chapman to a team that needed a closer?
Now, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then definitely not. Yeah. Then not. The crazy thing is they're still in it at 4.5 back. But when you project ahead here, how can every time they have a lead late in the game, they blow it?
Yeah.
That's all that's happened lately. And it hasn't been offense. Since the All-Star break, the Pirates are 8-10, Paul. Of those 10 losses, listen to this. In six of them, they've scored 6, 8, 5, 8, 4, and 5 runs. And they've had leads in most of those.
Right.
And, man, the bullpen, in my mind, has usurped the lineup as the biggest disappointment with this team this year. Like I said, you're always going to have bad outings. I think everybody understands that as a closer,
right,
as a setup guy, whatever. But if you're Holderman, you can't have 4 losses in a row, gut-wrenching losses in a row, when your team is desperately trying to hang on. You can have one. Bednar can have a blown save. He can't have back-to-back where nothing's happened.
Right. If you think about it, Joe, the last 2 days they went into the ninth inning with a 1-run lead.
Yeah.
And I think,
you can't have it.
No, and I think the other part of it is, if you look at what they've done, what have they lost now? 6 of 8 or something like that? They've lost 4 in a row.
Yeah.
In like 6 of 8 or something.
Yeah.
If their bullpen, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday and they were going on and on and on about the payroll. I'm like, this has nothing to do with the payroll. If their bullpen just does what it's supposed to do, they win 8 in a row.
Exactly. That's why I wrote and said the other day that we all understand how we feel about Bob Nutting. The entire town, nobody disagrees. We all feel the same. Charrington is another issue. Shelton's another issue. But so are the players. And a guy like Bednar, who's a 2-time All-Star, and Holderman, who had an All-Star resume the first half, And Chapman, who imploded for a little bit a while back. Sorry, but guys like that have to hold up their end of the bargain. They just do.
Yeah.
And then you get, well, here, it's another item. Can you crack one, please, Sean, as we get more depressed here? Thank you. Did you see the pathetic at-bat to end the game by Brian De La Cruz?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I mean,
oh,
here's the thing. It was going through my head, because I was actually at the game, Joe. I left the studio.
Did you?
And went down to do the last couple innings. And it was, who was right before him? Was it Rowdy right before him?
It was Rowdy singled, I thought.
Right.
I don't remember. I know Reynolds made it out. And Cruz,
Bart got a double.
Bart got a double.
Right.
You're
which
right.
Which was really a dumb decision, and he's lucky he got away with it because you needed two runs, not one. But he tried to stretch a single into a double and
yeah.
slid off the bag. The guy dropped the ball or else the game would have been over then, and we'd be talking about Joey Bart, who it's hard to criticize because he's a guy, you know what I mean? But that would have been a dumb play. Then Rowdy got up, and I was thinking to myself, if I'm them, I'm walking Rowdy here, and I'm taking my chances with De La Cruz because he strikes out so much. And Rowdy got a single, and then, of course, De La Cruz, I mean, he's – what is his – I don't even know
where – Well, he was 1-for-18.
Yeah, what has he done since
– So he's 2-for-23, I guess. It's just – It's not even that. It's how horrifying he looks at the plate.
Well, his strikeouts are certainly ugly. I mean, and
it's
and,
like you can pretty three, four pitches here, he's done, and he'll be swinging at breaking balls. You know, well off
the
plate.
The other day, one of the games, dude walked right ahead of him, and he walked like maybe on five pitches, and really, the pitch that he swung at was a ball. In other words, the pitcher was all over the place.
Yeah.
And De La Cruz comes up and just swings out of his shoes at two pitches in a row that are nowhere close to the strike zone.
I mean, when you actually break down his numbers, they're not really that good over the course of his career. Now, the one thing that stood out that I pointed out when they got him was the combination of homers and doubles.
Right.
He does apparently have a power bat. He's a one-tool player. Can't field, can't do anything but hit for power, but that's an important thing, especially in this lineup. And yet, five games into his tenure here, the guy, the big move at the trade deadline to be your cleanup hitter was already benched for a critical game against the Padres.
Right.
This is a disaster.
So he's 4-for-27.
Yeah. And he's 2-for-23.
Yeah, he's 4-for-27 since he's been here. He scored two runs. He has zero home runs. Yes. He does have a double, though. Oh, no, that was before he got here. Sorry. He has no doubles, no triples, no home runs. So no, he's 4-for-23, no extra base hits.
It's horrifying.
I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. And he struck out 10 times. You know what I mean? That has been, you know, a problem, obviously.
Next. Crack another. Thank you, Sean. Very kindly. Our obligatory Brandon Ayuk update dedicated to Jackass Tony today. Here's what's happening now, according to various reports. One I saw from Diana Russini said there's now a staring contest, Paul, between the Steelers and the Niners. And then another one I saw from Mike Garofalo said that perhaps a third team needs to become involved here so that the Niners get an actual player. In other words, the Steelers would trade the Niners picks and the Niners would parlay some of those picks to a third team for an actual player. So as I mentioned before, Jackass Tony came on the air yesterday, and I think as you did too, that while I trust Pony's reporting to a certain extent, he needed to have another source and he needs to be right. And the idea that this was absolutely done the other day,
yeah,
99.99999, is starting to be cast into doubt today. Now, it very well could get done. Jerry Dulac, our very own Jerry Dulac, said the Steelers were waiting to hear from the 49ers and making mm-hmm. it sound like it could still be imminent. So there's a lot here. Your take.
Well, if there's a third team involved, right? I mean, that would tell me that there really wasn't ever a deal that was fully in place.
Right.
Because if the Niners have made it clear that they want players back, and the Steelers have made it clear, I'm just reading what I'm, you know, what all of the guys with sources have written, right?
Yeah.
If the Niners have made it clear they want a player back, and the Steelers have made it clear they're not going to give a player back, how was there ever a deal in place? Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
That's the question that I would ask. And again, I don't want to cast doubt on what's been reported. I mean, guys have sources. I'm sure they're sources and everything else. But
yeah,
when you start to piece it all together, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was somehow co-opted into Pony's report by people, which I'm not sure. What you've never heard come out of my mouth is Brandon Ayuk is coming to the Steelers, according to me. Never said.
Right.
And if Pony's report is not true, I'll be happy to say that. I'll be the first to say that. I'm not invested in Pony's report in any way, shape, or form. He's a colleague who reported something. I think he has connections and does good work. So,
right,
you know, I retweeted what he tweeted, and we talked about it yesterday. And I think there's also a lot of backlash from national and local guys who don't like the fact that somebody like Pony reported that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that Pony's right. And if the deal isn't done by the game time tonight, then there's no way he would write that all you got to do is dot a couple of I's here and they're done.
Well, yeah,
that couldn't have been true.
Like I said, it really is going to come down to when a deal happens and what the deal looks like. But if there is a third party truly involved, which somebody is reporting, I've lost track of who's reporting what.
That was Garoppolo. Saying, I think he was more theorizing that it's actually true.
And there was some talk that maybe, you know, a team like the Raiders who are looking to move a guy like DK Metcalf or whatever, right?
Paul, let me interrupt. Garoppolo says, I have no doubt in my mind the 49ers have had those conversations. He's talking about the possibility of a three-team trade. I've been told that, he said, and they're nosing around the league. And the problem is nobody's really got an excess of receivers that can give you that for the caliber of guy you're looking for. And again, that's me repeating Garoppolo's report. So don't co-opt me onto that one either, jackass Tony.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Well, the whole point is, I think that the whole point there is, if the deal gets done eventually, you know, it all depends to me what it looks like before I will say that, you know, all of these guys reporting these things have been right on it. You know what I mean?
But if there is
indeed the 49ers are looking for a player back, which it sounds like by everyone's account, sounds like that's what they want, a player back. Okay. The more I got away from it, the more I started laughing at the idea that they're going to take Herbig or they're going to take, you know, James Daniels or some of these guys like that. Right. They want a player back that's going to help them win.
They want a receiver.
Like.
I mean, James Daniels is a good player if they needed a guard.
But the thing about it is, my point is, either way, if the Steelers, Jerry Dulac who has reported several times that the Steelers are adamant they're not going to give a player back.
Yeah.
So if the 49ers are looking for a player back and they're shopping around the league as Garoppolo?
Yeah.
As he is reporting that they're shopping around the league trying to find a player so that maybe they can, you know, do something, then there's not a deal in place. There's not. Unless, and here's the thing, it could be a situation like this. Okay, you're whatever the guy's name is. What's the owner's name out there? York.
Yeah.
Okay. You call me. Hey, we want to make a deal. I say to you, okay, I'm not giving you players. You say to me, tell you what, let's work on a draft pick compensation. Okay, let's go second and third. Whatever it's going to be. A first and a fourth. Whatever. Okay, I can live with that. Then you say, okay, good. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go around the league and see if I can give a first and a fourth for a player in a third. And if I can make that deal, are we good? Yeah, we're good. So it's,
well, that's what Garoppolo's saying is happening.
My point is, technically, I guess we do have a deal. I'm saying to you.
Well, we don't, though, because as he says, you got to find a team that wants to give up a receiver.
Technically, we have a deal from the standpoint of, yes, I'm going to give you the first and the fourth or whatever it is, second and fourth, whatever it is. I'm going to give you that. That's what's going to be the deal between us two.
Yeah. So you have the framework of a deal.
Right. But it's not, we just need to dot some I's and cross some T's.
Right. And as long as it's only a framework, blank happens, like the kid they drafted getting hurt in practice a day or two ago.
Right.
That can change things, man. I don't know. So we'll obviously keep you updated on that. I have never reported a single thing on it. I'm not in the reporting business anymore.
Well,
no matter what jackass Tony might tell you. Yeah. Next.
Well, and we're also not like this idea that, the Pittsburgh media, like we're all one brain. We all have one brain.
No, I mean, in fact, within the Pittsburgh media, you have many different accounts of this and all kinds of people who disagree with each other and probably hate each other. So this whole idea of it's one entity, the Pittsburgh sports media.
The other thing I laugh about.
Couldn't be more false. And it's the product of small minds, small little fearful, paranoid minds that, and I can relate to that, that come up with such ideas. Next. Sorry, Paul, I interrupted you, but we have to move on. You ready?
Yep.
What a basketball game yesterday. I went home, got a nice little Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon in it and some Tostitos with shredded cheese. Really treated myself yesterday. Turned on a game that the U.S. was already trailing to Serbia by at least double digits and then was just riveted. I don't know that I moved or breathed for the next hour and a half. They're down 11 in the fourth quarter, and then my personal favorite player on the planet, Steph Curry, and he was pretty good in the first quarter, just started to light it up again, made some big plays. Durant made some big plays. LeBron made big plays. And Jokic was showing more emotion with the Serbian team than I've ever seen in the NBA. And he's obviously great in the NBA. Right. I'm not questioning his competitiveness in the NBA, but this is different. This is different. And it was one of the most intense, well-played basketball games that I've watched in a long, long time, maybe ever internationally anyway, Paul. Did you catch it?
Well, here was the thing I would tell you. Can you imagine in that country what it would have been like for them had they beaten?
You could tell, yeah.
That was, and here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. If they would have won that game, I'd have bet the house on France in the championship game because they let every ounce of energy they had out to try and beat them. And the emotions to try and get back up to play a gold medal game. Sometimes that semifinal where you're playing in that situation, that game takes everything out of you and you forget, well, we got to play another game, which is what makes the Miracle on Ice so they had to come back. They had to come back and be actually, most people don't realize that wasn't the gold game. That wasn't the gold medal game. But it was the game that, that has forever put them in history.
Yes.
And it's the game. So if you think about what that game did here, could you imagine Serbia, country of what, about 6 million people, something like that, 7 million people, had they won? Those guys would be hero. Like, I can't even imagine the celebration.
They'd be immortal.
It's almost like, did you happen to see the chick from St. Lucia that won one of the sprints, I forget what it was. It was the first medal in the country's history They showed videos of people in that country, in St. Lucia or whatever, on that island, like big screen TVs, people all around the square celebrating like, you know, they had just won like a war or something. You know what I mean? It's incredible. Like, I don't know that we fully understand that piece of it.
And they played a perfect game. Kerr was talking about that afterward. He said his assistant, Spolstra, I think Mark Few, whoever else, were saying this is like Villanova against Georgetown, and it was. I'm watching this game, Bogdanovich and some guys, other guys that I've never heard of, nailing threes. They're shooting like 65% from three through three quarters. It was unreal. And those guys have played together, a lot of them, since they've been kids. The Americans, you know, they get mocked a lot, like, oh, you know, Jokic and a bunch of, you know, guys at a car wash almost beat the NBA guys. They get thrown together, and they're also under a different kind of pressure than I think they even face in the NBA, because it's a no win. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And if you lose, you go down in history just as a mockery. Not in my opinion, but a lot of people would just consider them a mockery. Kerr, LeBron, all these guys. I bet you there's people rooting for them against them in this country too. But that's a different kind of pressure that they dealt with in that fourth quarter.
If you think about it, so it takes seven games basically to win the gold, right?
Something like that.
I think it's seven. And three pool plays. It's a seven. So if you think about it, 2008, 12, 16, 20. I mean, they've won, 28 games in a row since 2002. And Now it's at 34 games in a row. So my point is, like, this idea, I think you're so right. I don't think people understand. Like, that's that team, even to a lesser, I mean, the women's team too, but to a lesser extent.
I watch them today at 11:30.
But the men's, U.S. men's team, they play every game. They're going to take the best shot of whoever they play. Now they've got to play in a couple of days. Tomorrow, what is it? Tomorrow, I think, Saturday.
Yeah, 3:30 against the big boy. Yeah,
against France.
Wemby.
Against France in France.
In France. So it's going to be phenomenal.
So the atmosphere is going to be, you know, obviously against the United States.
Yeah.
And I think that if they were to lose, what I hate about it is, we'll have to hear all the jackasses come out of the woodwork about how the rest of the world has caught the United States and AAU is ruining basketball and all the other stupid things. I mean, we just got done saying they've won 34 games in a row and most of them haven't been close. You know what I mean? If they win this game, honestly, 4 years from now, you know, you got to believe 4 years from now, France is going to be a real problem. And it wouldn't shock me if 4 years from now, if they add a couple of players, which it sounds like they do, because every year in the NBA draft, it seems like there's two or three guys in the first round that are from France.
Right.
My point is, 4 years from now, it's entirely possible they could lose. But the end of the day, you still got to beat them. I mean, Serbia had them beat. They're up 13 going into the fourth quarter. And basically, and I was reading about this last night. Steve Kerr decided, you know what, we can't control the point guard. Let's put Kevin Durant, who's like 9'7" and with his wingspan, you know, 20 feet, and just harass the hell out of him.
And put LeBron on Jokic.
Yes.
And he was a beast.
Right.
And he's getting outweighed by like 50 pounds by the guy.
Right. But the whole point is they made a couple of defensive changes. And to be honest, watching the game, the one thing I thought that Serbia did not do was when they made that switch and put Durant on their guy, right? I would have taken their guy off the ball. Like, that's how you counter that. You know what I mean? But sometimes, again, in the heat of the battle, you're watching the game, you're coaching the game, you're not really thinking about all the things you can do, you know, until afterwards you start thinking about it. You're like, oh, well, I should have done that. But they had him beat. But you got to give Steph Curry, LeBron, you know, Kevin Durant, those three guys basically said, we ain't losing.
And Embiid. Embiid was a beast.
We ain't losing this team, period.
It was great. It was riveting theater.
They beat France by 10+. That's my prediction.
Meanwhile, at the Olympics today, Franklin Regional Spencer Lee going for the gold in wrestling. We'll be watching. We'll be rooting. And good luck to him. today. Coming up, Paul, let's take a closer look at this football game tonight. My God, we spend 366 days a year talking about the Steelers. In the end, they only have about 20 or so football games, 21, 22, hopefully maybe one more. And this is one of them. So we need to talk about it, and we will. Who are we going to be? I heard the morning guys. Who will we be talking about Monday, and are there interesting little sidelights in this game? I think there surely are. That's all ahead. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And all of our sports talk there brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Joe Patochnik and his mustache. You've heard me talk about both many, 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 many times. But now we're talking about them getting all kinds of awards. This guy wins more awards than anybody I've ever seen. And they're well-deserved. The latest one is back-to-back MVPs for Big Joe and his mustache. I think the mustache actually writes the speeches. And that's Trifecta Northeast. Back-to-back MVP for service excellence, product excellence, marketing leadership, and customer service. It's all there at JP Roofing and Siding, starting with Joe himself. $500 off any roofing or siding installation right now for homeowners. Give him a call, 412-829-7711. That's 829-7711.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yes, we are at Studio B, Buzzer Chevrolet in Monroeville. Before we get to the Steeler game, I was just alerted our intern IT had a hole in one the other day. Sean, can you put IT on the line?
I sure can.
Hey, Joe.
Hello, IT. Tell us the details. Where was this? How many yards? What club did you use?
Wait, can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
Yeah. Where where were you? What club did you use and how many yards?
I was at Westmoreland Country Club. Mm-hmm. It was a 7-iron. 190
yards. 190
yards
with a 7-iron, Paul. How about this guy?
Wow.
How did it go in? Did you see it go in?
Yeah, I actually heard it. It dunked straight in. So
what?
Yeah.
On the fly?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Have you ever played Westmoreland Country Club?
Yeah.
So that hole, what was it playing that day?
It was a back pin. So it was
190?
Yeah, 190.
Did you jump up and down and go crazy, and did you buy everybody drinks?
Well, I didn't really jump up and down because I was with two guys I didn't really know. So
yeah.
I didn't show too much emotion, but I mean, I was pretty excited.
Congrats, man.
Thank you.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
Have you ever gotten a hole in one?
No, I have come close a couple of times, but I've never actually had one. You've had one.
Had one in Florida, but nobody saw it, so I guess it doesn't count.
Did you see the picture of it?
Of IT's?
Yeah.
No.
I put it on Twitter. I can't find it on Twitter.
I'm busy fielding too much feedback from yesterday's Jackass Tony interaction.
I tagged you in it. Did you see that I put it up on Twitter, Trent?
Yeah, I saw it. I retweeted it.
Yeah, there we go. See? I mean, he knows.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is a day to remember. Can you believe that Steve Blass had two of those in one round, Paul?
No, that's incredible if you think about it.
I mean, that's so far beyond lottery odds.
So what did you end up shooting, Trent? I mean, if you put a one on the card, well, I would hope that you...
Well, that's the I wasn't playing that well, but the one definitely helped out. I ended up with the 39. I only played 9 holes.
Oh, that's not bad, a 39. That's on pace for a 78, and I can figure that out, Paul.
39 is actually pretty good.
Congrats, IT.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Paul, let's turn our attention to game one tonight. Like I said, we talk about the Steelers every single day, and there's only so many games, so even a meaningless money-scrunching exhibition game is something to talk about here. Other than Justin Fields, who are some names and what are some things that we're looking at tonight? How about the new kickoff rule? How about that? Have you seen how it's played out in other games? The average starting line spot is like the same as it was last year.
Right. I don't think that. First of all, by the way, Joe, I've got good news for you.
What?
This was just the semifinal heat.
Oh, good. Yeah, we just saw the U.S.
The U.S.
I thought that was a medal heat,
which would explain a little bit because I kind of wondered why. You know, they kind of did what they did where I thought the last guy could have maybe even gotten, you know what I mean, further ahead than he even
What
did.
Is this, the 4x4 something something?
It's the qualifying heat. Anyway.
There's nothing, by the way, and I compare it to boxing. I'm a big boxing fan, or used to be. Just the raw, like, human intensity of a one-on-one battle in boxing, like a We're all attracted to that. Well, still in hockey, and then the same thing with a race.
Right.
Ever since we were a kid, let's race. Let's race. Everybody can relate to it.
That's the beauty of the race. The race is you and I on a track.
Yeah.
They say go.
No special equipment except maybe steroids.
It's me against you.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I want to see the offensive line. I want to see, you know, I mean, obviously, I'd like to see what Troy Fontenot does when he gets in there. I'd like to see where they put him. I'm assuming it's going to be right tackle to begin with. I would like to see what's the I can't think of his name now. The center from West
Frazier.
Frazier.
Well, they say that Herbig is playing great.
Right.
In fact, somebody used the term pole position with him.
Right.
What do we make of that? What do we make of it if Frazier doesn't start?
Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me because the Steelers don't just hand out starting jobs to rookies. You got to go win it.
So, let me ask you about the tackles because I was going to anyway.
Well, my point is, I want to see Frazier.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the kid from South Dakota State, who I hear the guard, who I hear is just a mauler, you know. So there's, you know, young guys, new guys on the offensive line that I want to see what they do.
Well, according to the Baconian Mongoose, we're going to have Dan Moore at left tackle, Jones at right tackle, and then when Fatanu comes in, He's going to go to right tackle and Jones to left. What are they doing? Why not just start out the way you want it to be? Especially, I'm not even talking about Fatanu.
Yeah.
Don't you want Broderick Jones, if he's going to be a left tackle, to play left tackle now?
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why toggle him?
Why play all these games? You know what I mean? Why? I get it. You want these rookies to earn it.
Yeah.
But why play all these games? If you know that this is the way you want it to be and this is how it's going to be three or four games into the season, why don't you just start that way?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like you're doing Jones even a disservice. Just put him over there and let him go. You know, every time I hear somebody talk about right guard compared to left guard and tackle on either side, they say, and these are pros who come on this show and talk to us, that it's a difficult transition. Now, maybe for a select few, it's not. And maybe Jones is that guy that can just toggle back and forth and it's no big deal. But I just don't get that. If they start the season with Dan Moore at left tackle,
I think there will be a revolution.
How about a revolt? How about DeMarvin Leal, apparently, this is according to Bacco as well, working at outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, this may be just because of a numbers crunch for this game, or it might be that he's a bust on the defensive line.
Yeah, when I read that, I thought, where is he going to play? Like, you've got your two outside linebackers already, and then didn't you just sign
Golden
back? Yeah. Where is there room for Leal to play outside linebacker?
I feel really not confident about this defensive line. You know, I hear people talking about it like they have a chance to be destructive. They do if they're all healthy and playing well. And that would be Benton, Ogunjobi, and Hayward. What the hell are the odds of that?
Right.
We got an 18-game season ahead, or 17. What the hell are they playing this year?
Especially Ogunjobi, who never seems to stay healthy.
Right.
I mean, that's the big thing with him.
Well, also, I think Cam is a gigantic question mark going into this year. Gigantic. He's coming off surgery.
Right.
He's played how many games in his career, and he's 35 years old. He's about to play his 200th game. He's played 194 games. I have no idea if Cam Hayward's still going to be a viable player, let alone a great one, which the last time he was healthy, that's what he was. I don't know. How could anybody possibly know that? But at the very least, at his age, he's going to rotate in and out. So I don't even see the point of mentioning, like, oh, their starting three is going to be great together. Wonderful. How many? There's going to be at least four, five, six guys in a rotation.
Right. And not just that, with Cam and Ogunjobi. Okay, let's do it this way. There's 34 games between the two. You know what I mean? 17 and 17. 34 games that those two guys are going to try and play, 17 each.
Yeah.
Out of the 34, how many of them are going to – you know what I mean? I say Ogunjobi's going to miss at least six or seven, and Cam will miss at least four.
Sounds reasonable.
That's, you know, 24. If they get 24 games out of those two, I would be shocked.
Forget about receiver and corner. For me, the most worrisome position overall on this whole team, and it's not close for me, is defensive line. It's defensive line.
And I think you know, moving Leal is one of two things. It's concerning they weren't exactly overly deep there to begin with. Or maybe some of these other newer guys, these younger guys, are just playing really well, and he's now become expendable.
That wouldn't be a bad thing. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray Fittipaldo coming up. We can ask him all of these questions and more. Going into the first time, we'll see the 24 Steelers together for a ball game, even if a lot of them won't be playing. It still should be very interesting. Fan weather, up to $7,500 in rebates in the Chevy Summer Drive. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Rain throughout the day and a high of 84. Got a lot of other things on the docket today. Bob Walk later in the show is going to be talking about this bullpen and what has become of it. And Paul, it's just an epic disaster, putting it lightly, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, if Holderman and Bednar don't figure it out, they've got, I mean, I don't know how many, I don't know how, what do they have, 44 games left?
Yeah, when are we going to see Holderman again? That's the
but
other thing.
I'm saying Holderman and Bednar, and they're like two of the cornerstones of that bullpen.
Right.
And, you know, no disrespect to Nicholas and Old Yeller and all these other guys, but at the end of the day, you had three guys down there in a bullpen that made that bullpen what it, you know, what it
yeah.
was cracked. Holderman, Bednar, Chapman. Chapman's figured it out, but the other two, if they don't figure it out and they can't close down games.
How do you think Old Heller fares in Dodger Stadium? Fails. That was a, then that was
they,
a
oh,
Freudian
by the way,
slip.
We didn't even talk about this. They brought up that Domingo Germán.
They did?
Yeah, last night. Yeah, it was one of those. You know. Here's how you know, Joe, that they're not really proud of what they did.
It comes at 4 a.m.
It broke. The news broke. I think it was that Alex Stumpf or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You know, nice dude, nice guy, by the way. I'm not saying anything about him, but I think it was him.
Oh, you only said his name.
Right. I always like, you know, remember when he's got an F. It's S-T-U-M-P-F.
So is the F pronounced Stump?
I don't know. But
or
I
just Alex Stump?
I always like pronouncing it. Stump. Yeah. Just like when I used to call Rob Beertemple, Rob Beertemple, right?
Where is Rob Beertemple?
I think he works for like a nonprofit. I think he's a PR guy or something.
Oh.
That's the last. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So Alex Stump, who, like I said, I think he's a good dude. I ain't got nothing against him. I mean, he's a good reporter. He works hard. Pirates are selecting a contract of right-handed pitcher Domingo Germán. Germán has pitched parts of six major league seasons as a 5.12 ERA, 14 minor league starts in 2024. Previously reported he had an opt-out in his minor league deal, but apparently the Pirates have selected him. He's here. Well, he's in LA. And there was actually another report somewhere that he was starting tonight's game.
What?
There was another report somewhere. Now, I think one of our guys, it might have been Destiny's Child, he reported that basically he was, you know, not going to start. He was coming out of the bullpen. But I think it was Destin. One of the guys, you know, reported that. Yeah, he would join. Oh, it was Noah House. There we go. Well, it was Noah Howes. I mean, here's my thing. It was Noah Howes. And, of course, in order to get to the actual tweet about Germán, yes. You have to sift through all his nonsense about, you know, In-N-Out Burger and all the food yes. he's eating. And there's just some nonsense about Dr. Dre and whatever.
We have to go. We're keeping Ray Fittipaldi. Waiting.
But anyway, long story short.
Long story longer.
He says that he actually might be in play to start tonight's game. Could you imagine?
We go from Flaherty Keller to Flaherty Germán.
If that happens, but here's the thing. Even if it's tomorrow that the guy starts, okay? Whatever. Could you imagine? 10 days ago, there were 3 or 4 games over 500, a game and a half out. Met, you know, right before the trade deadline, we're all excited. They're going. If I'd have told you then, guess what? Within 10 days, Holderman would be hurt, Bednar would stink, and Domingo Germán would be in your starting rotation.
Oh, believe me, the further back they get, the more chance we see less of Skeens, I think. Anyway.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Or draft pick number 1.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.